And we are looking at Acts chapter 8, and we will be looking at the story of Philip, and we are starting from verse 26. And just the reminder that Philip was leading a mighty revival in Samaria. Remember, there was this barrier that had existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. Persecution had broken out in Jerusalem, and the church was scattered. And the Bible says, "For and the believers everywhere they went, they preached the good news." And the Bible says, "For one, let us give you one example of those who went out." And they're giving us the example of Philip. And the Bible says, Philip went to the city of Samaria. He preached the good news there. And after he had preached, you know, he preached Christ. Then great signs and miracles, he performed great signs and miracles. And the people believed him. And, they were baptized. And then when the apostles had, they came. And the Samaritans had received the gospel. They came and, they came and they laid their hands on the people. And the people were baptized, and in the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And, when Simon the sorcerer saw that the gift was given through the laying on of hands, he decided to say, "Let me give you money. I will give you money such that anyone that I lay my hands on will receive this gift." And what we were able to see yesterday is that the gospel cannot and is not supposed to be transactional. The moment we turn the gospel to be transactional, we lose the essence of the gospel. It's not about do this so that God does this. It's not about let me pay you this so that God does this. No, the gospel is not supposed to be transactional. Our purpose, we are called to seek after God. But God in himself has said that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us keep persisting after God. And let's look at this man, Philip. And what I wanted to show is that, first of all, so that you understand what was happening, is that this man was actually in the midst of a revival. I mean, as we'll call it, the whole town was in great joy. They had received the message. They had seen great miracles and wonders. And then, verse 26, the Bible says, and we will read from verse chapter, okay, we'll read in King James. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and was sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and had him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And verse 31 says, And he said, How can I except someone should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. The place of scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. This is Acts chapter 8, and we're in verse 33 now. In his humiliation, his judgment, he was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be saved. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, if you're running such a ministry and a lot of things are happening and God tells you leave, leave and go to Jerusalem, between the road of Jerusalem to Gaza, and you will find that and there's a desert road, and I will tell you, just go. And my question first of all is, how many would even be obedient to go? Or they will say, no, this is the voice of the devil. Why should I leave what is working? Why should I leave where God is moving? I mean, this is a blessed place. But you see, there was sensitivity to Philip that he knew that it is God had spoken to him. And you see, you will wonder, how is God just not with the numbers? He's not happy with the numbers? No, it's not really about the numbers. But God was concerned about one person. And this one person was an Ethiopian eunuch. And for me, this history tells us that this is how Christianity actually came into Africa. It came through this one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, who went and took that gospel back to Ethiopia. And by Ethiopia, here it's Ethiopia in Africa. And the gospel, or rather the Christianity, has continued in Ethiopia since. And you know, of course, there was a time, I think it's in the 4th century, where it became the state religion. And even a time, I think history also says, up to the 16th century, when the missionaries came to Ethiopia, they were surprised that they found churches in every village. So that's why they left them alone, because these guys already know Christianity, they already know the gospel. But you see, it was the leading of God to Philip, who was already doing so much where he was in Samaria. But God says, wake up, go. And so God was looking for someone who is obedient, someone who is willing to go. And remember, when we read about, when we see how Jesus spoke of those who will be born of the Spirit, he said, like, they will be like the wind. No one knows where it goes or comes. And you see a situation like this. Philip was already in one place in Samaria, and God says, arise, go. He wakes up, he goes. And as he goes to that place, and he finds this Ethiopian eunuch preaching, not reading Isaiah. And he listens. And you see, this is really an example of how evangelism is done. Because, one, it is led by the Spirit of God. You have to, first of all, hear from God. You have to be led to the people that God wants you to speak to. It's not everyone who God has prepared. Remember, because the Bible tells us we are sent to harvest where others have planted. So in one person, you might be the one to plant and harvest, but in other people, there's already a planting that God has been taking place in their hearts. God has been preparing their hearts. And you see, this man, he had come to worship. And it's, you could argue that the reason why he had come to that place, because remember, there was already that relationship between people who will come, you know, to the temple, because they love to go to different temples. And these, some historians try to say that the Queen of Sheba, who had come to Solomon, was, I mean, eventually had a son, and then they became the Ethiopians, and they went back to Africa. And so there was still that linkages to the temple, to the Jewish, you know, Jewish faith. But the thing is, God needed the gospel to go with one man. And that one man is the one who is going to change a whole nation. And so he hears the man reading. And the man was reading about Christ. And he was reading, I think it is Isaiah 53, where it says that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a lamb is silent before a shearer. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. And who can speak of his descendants, for he was taken from the earth. And you see, when you read that chapter, you see it was speaking of the Christ. And he asked, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you, and he said, how can I understand? unless someone explains it to me. And you see, that is where the human element comes in. That's where God brings us as vessels to be able to share the gospel with those whose hearts are ready. And you can see this man, his heart was ready because he was trying to read and understand. And that's why the Bible tells us that how can they hear unless they are sent? And unless, and how can they, you know, how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can someone preach to them unless someone is sent? So Philip was a sent man to this Ethiopian eunuch. And since he was sent, Philip said, the Bible says, from that very scripture, he started to explain the gospel. Now, one thing you must learn, always when you're evangelizing to someone, you start from what they know. Or you start from where they are. And that is like, it's how, it's the basis. Like, you must have a starting point. Where is this man in his faith? And this man was from that very scripture. He started to explain that this was speaking of the Messiah. And this Messiah came, he was with us, and he is the one who was crucified in the hands of the Jews. His descendants, no one could speak of them, but God gave him back his life because he was poured out as a ransom for many. He paid the price of sin for all of us that we may be saved. And so from that very point of scripture, Philip began to explain the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And that is how, remember, we are seeing a real template of evangelism. He explained the gospel, and then the man believed. And then the water appeared, whether it appeared or they got to a water, the man said, "There is water. What is stopping me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, do you believe?" He said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip was a witness bearer. He was a true witness of the... Here he did not need to do any signs and miracles. He was not doing any signs and miracles at this point. He was just sensitive to the voice of God. Told him to leave where he was going, leave the revival he was having, go meet this man, and eventually, the Bible says, after he baptized him, what did the Holy Spirit do? He lifted him up. He carried him. This is what we call spiritual transport. He was carried. And I was listening to one of the stories of one of the bishops in Kenya, and he was explaining how he taught this scripture. And someone asked, "Are you sure someone can be carried by the Spirit of God? As can it happen today?" And one of his members said, and he told the bishop, "Yes, it has not happened to me, but it can happen. If you believe, it can happen." And the member got out of the church, and a whirlwind came, carried him. And now the wife started crying, coming back to the church, "My husband is gone, what? And then when she went home, she found the husband at home. And it happened a number of times. But you see, he was saying, but this man, since the man was not yet mature in the faith enough, this man said he's more anointed than the bishop, and he left the church. And so there are things that God does, that God is showing us of the spirit life, that there are things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. There are things that are impossible, that to the human understanding will seem impossible. But you see, for the sake of the gospel, when God wanted to move Philip from here to the next place, which was Azotus, he had to carry him in the spirit. Because remember, they were walking, they were going into the desert, they are going a distance with this Ethiopian eunuch who is going back to Africa. And so he needs to get back to where he was, and God carries him. I've listened to stories of even, is it in West Africa, I think it's one of their, I don't know whether it's Babalola or someone like that, who has traveled to almost, I don't know, 29 countries in that time. And this was a time where there were no vehicle, they didn't have like, you know, I mean, they weren't using planes and all this. He would just tell his team, "We are going," they pray, and God takes them to another place. And they go, they preach the gospel, they pray again, they come back. And these are things that are possible, and these are things that are happening not only in the Bible, but is also happening in our time, in our generation, and God is able to do anything that is necessary to reach out the lost soul. So it's not just that now you'll wake up, you say, okay, no, God, I want to be transported to Paris now and watch the World Cup or the Olympics. No, it's about the souls. God is after souls. God is after souls. That which you need for the gospel, God is able to avail it. The Bible says Philip, when he was found in Azotus, he's still passing through. He preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And that is it. So Caesarea is in Philippi, and that is where he stayed. Look at how God's desire is for the gospel. And now in our time, ask yourself, God can do anything, even if it means giving you a job, even if it means, you know, giving you a promotion, even if it means giving you a transfer, for the sake of the gospel, just to find that one person in your office, just to find that one person in your neighborhood, just to find that one person in that shop that you visit, because he wants you to reveal Christ to them. God's desire is the gospel. May we be sensitive that and have the heart of God, that God's heart is that all men be saved. And let us keep praying. I'll encourage us. Let us keep praying, because God desires that through the troubles that we're facing, through the troubles the nations are facing, he desires that men come to a knowledge of him. Let's be sensitive. Let's keep asking God, give us one person to share the gospel, or give us one person to just share the love of Christ with. Just give us one person to just answer, even if it's one question. Every day, just ask God, God, at least bring someone of whom, even if it is to show kindness in your name, even if I don't need to mention the name Jesus, if you're in a place where you cannot mention. And God is faithful. Anyone who desires to win souls, God always brings the souls for them to encounter. And this is where I'll stop, and I'll welcome reflections. You're welcome. Holy, holy God, holy, holy Jesus Christ, oh Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for the word. I think just being quite clear, and maybe it's a few things that I can share from my own perspective.
Yes, please.
Is from this story, I see that Philip used the Old Testament to turn his Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And I think it's a lesson, because often Christians think that the Old Testament is not relevant today. And we think that only talk about the New Testament when you're preaching Christ. But I think this example that indicates that the Word of God is the Word of God, be it in the Old Testament or in the New Testament.
Very true.
And I think that, this is a good example, one of it. But then also you realize that the Word of God takes some level of assistance, either by the Holy Spirit or by not or to be understood. But this gentleman was busy reading very loud. And I think we can all attest that sometimes when you're reading something and you don't understand it, you may start reading it all loud, you know. You stop reading it silently because you're trying to force your brain to understand what you can't understand.
It must enter,
Yes. So I think he was just reading a story. To him, it was just a story. But the difference is that he had the thirst and understand, because at his level as a minister, and he was, I think, a powerful man in the government, you would have just read this as a story and used it in reference in his speeches and all that. But again, you understand the message. And he opened up his heart for this. And this is when Philip met him. And you see Philip's approach. He began from where the man's concerns were.
Exactly. Not very scripture.
Where exactly? And yeah. Then he went further to show him how Jesus, you know, Jesus is also showed him how, you know, what applies to those concerns, but what's applied to those concerns of his. So, you know, if imagine it was someone else would say, no, don't. You want to know about Jesus? No, let me show you where you can read, you know. But he ran from exactly where the man was trying to study. So I think these are some of the lessons that I take from this. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. All scripture is useful. Yeah. All scripture is important. Yeah. Any reflection? Yes. Go ahead, Mary. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for the word. Good morning, brethren.
Morning,
yes.
Morning. Welcome.
You know, for me, from this passage, I'm just thinking maybe as we pray for the unsaved world, we should pray for the church. Thank God. Thank God for the persecution. If not, maybe they would have been in Jerusalem building big mega churches around Jerusalem. That's the first thing. Secondly, for example, if we today, you see someone just didn't come to church and then he went like Philip went, you will see, you didn't come to church. So Christianity sometimes is seen like roll call in the assembly, you know, just structures about some traditions of men. No doubt there are so many congregations, dress codes, the way you dress, the way you, you know, just making it. Then we come to church, we have choir singing, then we have. And maybe among this, it's not that we shouldn't assemble ourselves together as the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, but that being led by the Spirit, imagine all the Christians in this world now have been so strengthened like Philip.
Yeah.
And they are jetting to the Ethiopian eunuchs in the United Nations,
yes,
to the Ethiopian eunuchs that are in regional organizations, you know, to the Ethiopian eunuchs that are politicians,
yeah,
or deputies. How quickly the Lord will restore, will establish his kingdom. But yes, so I'm just thinking, praying for the church, for God to restore his instrument,
yes,
of restoration, for God to make the church become people like Philip, jetting around, meeting the Ethiopian eunuchs that he has put before them, should take precedence than just the normal conventions, yearly conventions. I'm not against yearly conventions, but that putting the voice of the Holy Spirit that is leading you towards this, an Ethiopian union, that the Lord God, praying that the Lord will once again us Christians be led by the Spirit more than just organizational focus for the church.
True.
Over.
Amen, amen. We need to be light. Remember, any reflections, my sister?
No. But thank you. Sorry, I joined late, but I was blessed by what you shared when I joined.
Amen, amen. Yeah, we thank God. Okay, thank you. Yeah, indeed, what Mary has said is very true. That how can we be the ones to reach out to the Ethiopian eunuchs everywhere that we find them? And I think it just starts from us saying, God, I'm available. I'm an available vessel. And I assure you, when you open your mouth, God will give you wisdom that you won't even know how you answered it. At times, you know, when you speak with, when you meet people and they ask you a question and you start to just open your mouth, the Bible says you shall be taught what to say in that very moment. And God teaches us, and I pray that God will help us to be faithful. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. Thank you for the witness of Philip, O God, that he was a vessel that is willing to be used, that was not focused so much on the revival or on the victories that he had in Samaria, but he was after to your voice, after being led by your spirit, and he's able to turn a continent, to turn a nation through one man, through the ministration of one man, and his focus is not on the numbers, but his focus is on obedience to you, O God. I pray for wisdom, I pray for sensitivity to your spirit, that Lord will be the light of the world, that we be that man that will speak the word, will speak a word in season, that we shall have the words that are able to help the weary, O God, that they shall be able to come to understanding of the gospel of God. And I pray for supernatural strength, supernatural wisdom. I pray for speed. I pray for opportunities that we need, that Lord, you need us to take us to different places to impact for the gospel. I pray that you make it possible, oh God. And I also pray for my brother, my sister who is not born again, them that desire to know you, oh God, that Lord, you bring a fresh awakening, oh God, even as they ask you to forgive them, that Lord, you flood their hearts with light, fill them with peace and forgiveness that comes from you, O God. And I pray even for every need that we have mentioned or unmentioned. I pray for our nation. I pray for where we are, O God. That Lord, your hand of cover shall be upon us. We silence the drums of war, the drums of protests and various issues, O God. We call for peace of the land, O God. That Lord, you are in charge and you'll keep and watch over us, O God. In whatever that we do today, may your grace and presence go ahead of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed day. God bless, people of God.